Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Well, let me go to Noeline O'Hanlon, because as you know, as we speak, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Irish Taoiseach, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, are meeting in Thornton Manor in Wirral near Liverpool. And I see Laura Koonsberg of the BBC, that so many people follow with great fever at times. But she has excellent fact of the day. In 2019 style, this is all the Thornton Manor. This is also where Colleen Rooney, and I'll throw in, we mentioned her yesterday, Wagatha Christie, had her 21st birthday party. That's the level of discourse. Now, unfortunately for people in real life, a hard border would be catastrophic. Noeline O'Hanlon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Tell us your story, and what if these talks don't work out this afternoon, and there is a hard border from the end of this month, what would it mean to you who lives? Well, you live near the Carrickdale Hotel, right on the border.
I live half an hour from the border, half a mile from the border in Obese County Tyne. And I've lived on either side of the border all my life, one side or the other. So I think if a hard border came, it would just be a complete backward step. It would be just going back to, you know, very bad, fearful times. I don't think anybody wants that.
And the practicalities of it?
Well, on a daily basis, I could cross the border, well, minimum six times. You know, just going about my daily business. My mother lives in Canadian, and if I go to see her, like, it's four times.
And do you remember when there was a hard border?
I do, yeah. It was very, very difficult. You know, daily life, just even going to the shops, even taking kids to school, being stopped and searched both sides, you know, it was very, very difficult.
And is there anything in these, the utterances from the British government or indeed from the EU, that gives you any hope?
Well, nobody knows. It's the uncertainty. You know, nobody knows. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody has an answer.
So you've contacted us about your UK stroke Irish driver's licence. What's happened?
Yeah, I got the tail end of the programme yesterday. I exchanged my licence about 2 weeks ago and for Northern Ireland to Irish. And I was given a receipt and a copy of my licence and told it was fine to drive in the interim. And it could take up to 6 weeks for the licence to come, but I got it in 8 days. I just thought it was strange yesterday when I was listening to some of the people commenting about the time, you know, and the difficulties they had.
And what, you run a company, a haulage company?
We have a business company, yeah, a company, Northlight Services. We run it on the border, yeah. We run both sites.
And have in the last, since, well, we go back to 1998, since 1998 has, well, foot and mouth, what happened, for example, during foot and mouth where it was a complete clampdown, wasn't there?
Well, at that time, at the foot and mouth, the border completely closed down, completely and utterly. You mean, every crossing, and you were stopped, searched and checked. And I think that was the hardest time.
And
completely closed down.
But do you think that's what it's going to be like?
That's what I would be afraid of.
Yeah. If we have a hard border or chaos in many ways from...
That's it, and nobody seems to know. You know, nobody has answers.
By the way, is there preparation going on, Nita? Are people meeting and exchanging stories or trying to reassure
each
other?
For months, yeah, we have.
And tell us about those meetings.
There's been Brexit seminars, there's been different meetings, you know, as you mentioned in the Carrickdale, but there's no answers, nobody knows. You know, there's been support put up, there's been, grants for helping local businesses, but nobody knows the outcome. Nobody knows the direction it's going to go.
And there's no clarity. Would people say, well, hang on, if this happens, this is what will happen, or if A happens, B will happen, or if C happens, D will happen. Have you given any, is there any gaming any gaming of what might happen?
No, just total uncertainty.
Okay. And your company, in the meantime, life goes on, I hope.
Life goes on, yes. And I'm sure, like, just for everybody living on the border, I can't imagine anybody would want to go back to those times.
But it might happen. Like, the biggest political party in Northern Ireland.
That is the fear. It could happen.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
That is the biggest fear.
Okay, but your experience so far in getting the licence change was Was a good
absolutely
one.
Absolutely, no problem.
Yeah,
yeah,
great.
I was told
okay.
it would be 6 to 8 weeks, yeah, you know, because of the backlog with the Northern Ireland side.
But and on an average day, Nolene, how many times would you go back and forward across the border?
Minimum 6. Maybe 10, 12.
A minimum of 6 times?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Could be up to 12 times, once yeah. every daylight hour, in other words.
Yeah, yeah. One of the roads I use crosses the border. You cross the border twice to get from one end of the road to the other.
I know what
so
you mean.
You go on that road,
and what about your shopping or your lifestyle or your leisure or your gym or whatever?
Well, again, I go that I'll use that road. That's over and back is 4 times. Newry, because we live in North Lyme, Newry would be our local town. You cross in there, and that's twice. If I go by Killeavy and visit my mother, that's maybe 4 times. If I do that twice a day, that's 8 times.
Can you imagine?
You know, and each of those, during the Troubles, each of those was a stop. You were either stopped by the guards or you were stopped by the police or the soldiers.
And even when you say that, because I was listening, I know it's an American story, but it is a tariff story. You know the way Trump has imposed 25% tariff on a list of European goods, including Kerrygold, for example.
Right. Okay.
And Kerrygold, he's put a 25% tariff, which means that Kerrygold will go, it's a premium product in the States anyway, but it's a magnificent product, but it will go from $2.50 to $3.50. And that means, if for example, that happened here, well, every time you cross the border, I'm not saying you do it, Nolan, but every time anyone crosses the border, it'd be worthwhile stocking up a Kerrygold if there's going to be a tariff on meat and crazy. And there's no way that could be policed.
No, as
the head of the PSNI said, they could not enforce. Okay, no.
Actually, at the time of the foot and mouth, when you crossed the border, if you had groceries, if you were checking groceries across the border, they were searched at the time as well.
Okay, well, with 12 trips a day, possibly, and 6 minimum, you're definitely, Nolene, you're hereby appointed our Brexit correspondent. I want you to be, I know there's more tips. By the way, I know it's very worrying. I don't mean to be facetious, but we'll keep in touch with you over the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And hopefully things
much.
Will, you're very kind. Thanks, Nolene O'Hanlon, 51551 Joe at RT.ie.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
With over 300 roads between the north of Ireland and the south of Ireland, impossible to police, as admitted by the RUC. I'm not saying they won't do it. If the tariffs come in, as I said, we gave the example of the tariffs that Trump is imposing on Irish products in the next few weeks, unless he wakes up in the middle of the night and presses the wrong button on his Twitter machine on his phone. Hopefully he will forget about it. But 25%, for example, on Kerrygold. So Kerrygold in Northern Ireland would be €1.50 dearer than Kerrygold. So you can imagine, it'd be worth your while smuggling over a box or two, to say the least. Now, Liam O'Rahilly. Liam, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
You say you remember when your town had their own local smuggler.
Yes, I worked in the National Bank, a young lad in the National Bank in Kells, County Meath.
Brilliant, yeah.
And back in the late 57 and 58. And we had a local smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
Big long lad, Jimmy. I won't say his second name.
No, Jimmy, we know him. We all knew him as Jimmy the Smuggler.
he'd come around every fortnight, whatever, do the towns and take orders.
For what?
For whatever you wanted. At that time, there was an awful lot of stuff you couldn't get here that you could get in the north of Ireland.
And you could get it cheaper in the north.
You could get it anyway.
Full stop, okay.
I remember Michelin tyres were the item at the time. You couldn't get them down here.
Right.
Not that I was driving the car, but I knew other lads who would order the Michelins. And then shaves and different shirts and a whole range of stuff.
So he came round and he took orders and he headed up north and filled up his van and he just...
He came down here and delivered.
Now, he wouldn't come through customs, sure he wouldn't.
We never asked him, actually.
Jimmy the Smuggler written on the side of his van is kind of a bit of a giveaway.
A big white Ford van.
Yeah. Now, we got a glimpse of it around the 24th of March last when the Treasury announced... the tariffs that will be... Remember, we were heading for a hard exit on March 29th. We were in the Titanic Hotel that day. I'll never forget it. But it didn't happen. But that week, they were The British government announced all these incredible tariffs on Irish beef and Irish products, which would have shot the price of Irish products in the north, for example, through the roof. So it would be in people's interest to come south and get their Kerrygold and their ribeye steak and their cheese and whatever else, and head over one of the 348 crossings and not pay what they have to pay in supermarkets up north. So it's going to be a smuggler's paradise.
Well, yeah, I think the smuggler brotherhood is getting off its hind legs again. Yeah.
The
smuggler's brotherhood.
And you remembering Jimmy, as we're calling him for security reasons.
Yeah.
Remember Jimmy the smuggler? Did people regard him as a criminal or just a
not
lad?
Not at all. He was a businessman. He just came round, a very nice fella. And he played to me, a young, lanky man.
Yeah.
I remember leaning across and having a chat. And he's cool as a cucumber. And the matter of fact, I asked him, he wrote it down. And within a couple of days, he was in.
I know your line is not great, but my point is that Jimmy the smuggler was not regarded in your town in Kells when he was bringing back the Michelin tires, wherever else you could get up the north, either that you couldn't get in south, down south, or cheaper. He was not regarded as a criminal.
He was a benefactor.
He was doing the messages.
People were delighted to see him going. He had staff at the town.
Okay. Well, Liam, these days, those days might be back.
They'll be back, absolutely. If this happens, it'll...
But from your description, I won't labour it, but from your description of Jimmy the Smuggler, it sounds like he was a bit of a cowboy in the old Wild West, not the way we hear it today, but like he was a bit of a... Was he a bit of a bit of a hero in the town?
Well, should I tell you something? We all liked him, and he was a cool kid. Never was in a rush. He strolled in, took out his notebook,
and off he went. Okay.
Wrote it down, and within 3 or 4 days, he'd come.
Came back with the delivery from the north. Okay, Liam O'Rahilly, we're looking for Jimmy the Smuggler from Kells or any of his descendants. Thanks indeed, Liam O'Rahilly.
Okay,
5-1-5-1.